All right, this morning we're going to be diving back into our study on conscience. This is our second week in conscience. Last week we looked at sort of a really big high-level overview of what conscience is and why we should think about it and some general takeaways that we could have. One of the things I wanted to hit again, we looked at this last week and it's printed on your sheet, is the Eastman Bible Dictionary definition of conscience. I think this is very helpful when we may have this on our sheet every week just to kind of remind us where we are on conscience. It says this, that faculty of the mind or inborn sense of right and wrong by which we judge the moral character of human conduct. It's common to all men, like our other faculties, it's been perverted by the fall. So that's kind of our definition, where we've been. Here in just a minute, we'll pray, and then we're going to do something a little bit different today. Hopefully, it'll be encouraging to you. So let's pray, and then we'll start our study this week. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be in your house again today. Thank you for being able to come together and study on the conscience from your word. Pray this would be a fruitful study to us, that it would benefit us, that it would make us more like you, that it would help us to love one another more. Pray that you bless as we prepare our hearts to hear from your word in the sermon, that as we hear from James, we'd be encouraged and moved toward following you with all our hearts, Lord. Please bless our time together. Pray that it be profitable and fruitful. In your name I pray. Amen. All right. This morning, we're going to look at trying to understand conscience from a perspective of the New Testament. You're saying, well, why are we not going to look at conscience from the perspective of the Old Testament? While the themes of conscience are all throughout the Old Testament, the word conscience is actually not in the Old Testament anywhere. So we're going to concentrate our study on the New Testament. As I was looking through the book and getting the study materials ready for this week, one of the things that he brought up in the book was the amount of time that conscience is mentioned in the New Testament. So except for Phil and Dinah, who in here wants to take a guess at how many times the word conscience is in the New Testament? 15, somebody said, and 32. How many? 137. Ryan was really close. It's 30. 30 times conscience in the New Testament. That really surprised me. I was not expecting that. So I think that kind of emphasizes our need to study it. It's mentioned a lot, so obviously it's something that the Lord wanted us to know about and something that we need to deal with. So that reinforces our need to study it. So today, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to break off into six groups. So we'll have two groups on this side, two groups in the middle, two groups on this side, and kind of split however it works out to be relatively even numbers. And we're going to make some observations from most of these passages about conscience. We're not going to cover all 30, but we'll cover close to it. So what I want you to do, I've got sheets prepared for you already for each group with the verses that your group's going to cover on there. What I want to do is we're going to take several minutes, probably about 10 minutes together, and make some observations from these verses about conscience. There are a lot of observations we can make about the verses that are not related to conscience. This morning, because we're looking at conscience, let's make observations related to conscience from the verses. Read the context around the verses. One of the groups is going to have verses that are all kind of like right together. So you could probably read a section of five or six verses and cover all the verses that you have. Just spend a few minutes together and let's see what the scriptures say about conscience. We're going to come back together on the board. We'll kind of write this out and we'll take our look at it, at conscience from there as we've looked at what the scriptures say. So go ahead and start breaking up into groups and I'll come over and hand out your papers to your group. All right, guys, let's take about three more minutes in your groups and try to come up with one or two observations for each verse, because we're going to go around here in a few minutes. We want to have some agreed on observations for each verse on your list. Group, be prepared to maybe read the verse that your group had and then give us the observation from it. And we're going to put these observations up on the board, kind of get an idea of what we see here. All right, group one over here. What's your first verse? What does that say? Okay. That's right. Yeah. All right, so what's an observation from conscience on that verse? And vary. Okay. And then what did he say? What kind of conscience did Paul have in the verse? Good conscience. All right. So vary and having a good conscience is a possibility. Okay, good. All right, what about your next verse? All right, observation. All right, so we can have a clear conscience. Okay. And then diligence required. Or at least for Paul, he said diligence was required right there, right? All right, and Romans 2:15. All right, what's the observation? Okay, so judge, right? Your conscience can judge you. And then also, what did it say about your conscience? What right before the conscience in that verse, what did it say? Bear witness, right? Judge and bear witness, okay? All right, group two. Where's group two? Back here? All right, what's y'all's first verse and observation from the verse? All right, what's the observation from that one? Mm-hmm. Do them right. So he's saying obey, right? Is that an observation from that one? Yeah. Obey, listen to your conscience. Obey the authorities because your conscience tells you to. Listen to your conscience. All right, what's your next one? Okay, conscious are different. Yeah, we kind of, I'm going to put times two right here, so we had that already, can vary. So they're different for each individual. All right. Stronger. Okay. And then what else? In verse 12 specifically, 8:12, what's a couple? There's a couple. There's a verb and an adjective, or especially a verb there. Wounding. Yes, your conscience can be wounded, right? You can damage it. All right, group three. Is that y'all? No. There's three. Okay, y'all. All right. What's your first verse and observation? Pick your meat on what? Without asking questions? Eat steak is what it sounds like to me. No, that's right. That's right. All right. Then what about, I think you had sort of a run of verses there. So what about 27 and 28, 29? Y'all had the hard run of verses there. Hard it is to make a choice. So what about maybe for those verses, kind of like in one of the verses they read, listen to it or obey it. Is not a good observation. Don't eat for the sake of conscience. That sound right? I think that's definitely an observation from there, is to keep from violating the other person's conscience. Don't eat for the sake of conscience. Don't offend others, yeah. Has a conscience also. That's so everybody has a conscience, right? That's another good observation, yeah. All right, group four. What did y'all have? Good conscience, yeah. So we can have a good conscience, right? That's a good observation. So we got that twice. All right. And then 1 Timothy 1:5, is that the next one y'all had? Four two, okay. There, that's right. That's exactly right. That's a great point. So it can be damaged on both sides. Right. Seared. Right. Damaged. Both or multiple ways. All right. And then job one more. Clear, good, yeah. Have a disorder card. That's good. I didn't hear that last part, would you? Conscious positively. Yeah, that's good. That's very good. All right, let's go ahead and go to five here. Filed conscience. I'm gonna put another three for good conscience. We saw good again. So basis. Good behavior. I'm gonna have to get Claudia to come up here and write for me next week. Y'all can read what's going on up here. All right, y'all have one more. No, I don't need you to write for me. Okay, so we saw good again. That's four times now we've seen good. God can give us a good conscience. All right, and then six, or well, five, six, sir. Okay. Gospel, yeah. That was application three, so we'll skip that when we get there. No, that's good. That's great. We saw that from the text, which is what we're shooting for. All right. So lots and lots of things about conscience in the New Testament, so we're going to try to kind of group these together. The first thing we want to look at is New Testament generally speaks about conscience in two different categories. If you're taking a stab at that, what do you think it would be from looking at what's on the board? What are the two categories that we see for conscience? What's that? Good and bad, positive and negative. Yeah, positive and negative is what I had, but good and bad are very good there. So your first blank there is positive. We see, somebody call out some of the good adjectives we see on the board here. If you can read it clear, yeah. Good, yeah. Pure, clean, yeah. So all those are good. Those are listing conscience in a very positive light. And then we also had several verbs that were positive. Cleansed, cleared, perfected, and purified were all positive verbs related to the conscience in these verses that we looked at. And then secondly, on our sheet here, in a negative or bad light, what are some negative or bad references we have to the conscience here? Seared, yeah. Evil, yeah, I think that's the strongest one. That's very strong. Maddie, what was yours? Seared. You had the verse seared. Yeah, that's another one. So yeah, we see definitely these two categories, both with adjectives describing the conscience and verbs talking about the conscience in positive and negative light. So the Bible's given us both these ways that the conscience can work in positive and negative ways. And then in light of that, it has two functions. Okay. The first function is, well, tell you what, let's read Romans 14:22-23 real quick. I'll read it for us. I got it right here. It says this: the faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. Whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. So our two functions that conscience performs here, the first is a guide. Your conscience says, you shouldn't do that. Don't do it. That's what the believer here in Romans, his conscience is telling him. He doesn't approve of eating the meat. His conscience is telling him, don't eat the meat. He feels like he shouldn't eat the meat. So then after our conscience functions as a guide to us, then it functions as a witness or a judge. Next it says, I told you you shouldn't have done that. So once the believer eats here, he says he's condemned if he eats. His conscience is going to condemn him. We can all attest to that, right? Your conscience says, don't do something. And then we go and do it. And then what happens? Our conscience condemns us, right? You're guilty. You shouldn't have done that. So he has a chart in the book that I think is going to be hopefully helpful to us. I'm going to try to draw up here really quickly. And as we talked about the, if I can find my book, there it is. As we talked about the functions, or our functions, do y'all remember? We just went over them. God and judge. Those are our two functions. Conscience guides us and it judges us. And then for God looks forward. So that is saying again, don't do that. As a judge, it looks back. Says, hey, you shouldn't have done that. So what's a negative aspect? And I'm not saying that it's wrong, but what's a non-positive aspect of your conscience as a guide? That oversensitive. I probably phrased that question poorly. What I was looking at was like it's warning you to not to do something wrong. So like don't do that. Like we said, don't do that. Don't fall in the ditch. And then over here, it's I told you you shouldn't have done that. It condemns you. And then here, what's a positive aspect of conscience as a guide? Do that. Yeah, that's right. You should do that. And then a positive action as a witness. Approves. Yeah, like Paul said, I can stand here in good conscience before you. I don't have any guilt because my conscience functioning as a judge looking back approves what I've done and gives me a clear conscience. So I hope that's helpful just kind of as a broad context for what conscience is doing for us here. So as we move from there, let's look at a couple of principles we can take away about conscience. And one of these got said in our group, I think, and that's this, that conscience is different for people with different moral standards. Conscience is different for people with different moral standards. Titus 1:15 says this, to the pure, all things are pure, but the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but their minds and their consciences are defiled. Somebody give me an example of somebody who can do something evil with a clear conscience. Muslims, what are they doing? Yeah, okay. Yeah, they're convinced they're doing the right thing, right? They're probably going to their death with a clear conscience. What about closer to home? What about here? What's something you could think of that you might see on the news here in the United States that somebody's probably doing with a clear conscience that's wrong? Nobody had to think long about that. Look, and I think even about like protesters, like people that protest or advocate for abortion. You know, people can come out and genuinely believe that abortion is like a healthcare right, and they're following their conscience, and they're completely wrong, but they have a clear conscience because of their moral standards. Their moral standards are wrong, so therefore, their conscience is wrong. One of the quotes from the book was, someone's clear conscience may be evil because of immoral standards. So that's absolutely the truth. Many people have clear evil consciences. And another principle we need to take away, and this got brought out in the observation stage too, was conscience can and does change. Conscience can and does change. It's almost always being influenced positively or negatively. R.C. Sproul said, All one has to do to adjust his conscience, all one has to do is to adjust his conscience to suit his ethic. Then we can live life with peace of mind, thinking we're living in a state of righteousness. So we talked earlier about someone who has a clear conscience doing evil things. Someone can adjust their conscience to allow them to do evil things. They can adjust their ethic, adjust their way of thinking, and move toward evil with their conscience. Now, hopefully for us, we're moving the opposite direction of that, but we do need to be aware that our consciences do change over time. So applications from that. First off, we want to seek to live with a clear conscience. We saw that if we were back on our observation side, we saw that word clear over and over and over again in a positive light. So Paul is saying, hey, look, we've striven, we've worked, we've labored to live with a clear conscience. We want to seek to live with a clear conscience in everything that we do. Acts 24:16, I always take pains to have a clear conscience before God and man. And Hebrews 13:8, he actually asks the church to pray for him. Pray for us, we're sure we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. So pray for us. We have a clear conscience and act honorably. And then secondly, we want to seek to change our conscience to be conformed to God's will. We're going to have a whole lesson on that in a couple of weeks on how, when we know our conscience is wrong, how do we change it to be aligned with God's will? But for today, Romans 12:1-2 gives us a good way to do that. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what's the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So we want to be renewing our mind. Luther said this, my conscience is captive to the word of God. The word of God is what we should let fix our consciences, which we should let point our consciences in the right direction. It's what we should be basing our ethic and therefore our conscience on is God's word. And then lastly, as Joey very eloquently put it, we need to recognize the only way we can truly enjoy the benefits of and be grateful for our conscience is through Christ. They read Hebrews 8:14, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our consciences from dead works to serve the living God. So for an unbeliever, if they have a defiled conscience, they're living under guilt, there's no hope for them in that. They're just guilty. If they have a completely seared conscience and they're living with a clear conscience in sin and immorality, where do they stand before God? Guilty and condemned. that's no good. Only through Christ and the gospel can we truly enjoy our conscience. If we're truly saved, if God has changed our hearts, when our conscience actually convicts us of sin, what's your attitude for that be? Gratefulness that God has showed us sin, and then repentance and faith and moving toward Christ. So instead of living under guilt, we know we're under grace. We can repent, turn to Christ, know there's forgiveness for that, and be grateful that our consciences are moving us toward walking in holiness and a greater relationship with Christ. And there's no way that our conscience can be a good, helpful gift that we can be grateful for outside of Christ. So we just always need to remember the gospel in this, that as we seek to listen to our consciences, as we seek to conform our consciences to God's word, that we're doing all that in light of the fact that Christ has saved us and they want to live holy because of what he has done for us, that only he can purify our consciences from dead works to serve the living God. So let's seek to do that this week. Any questions? We got just maybe 2 minutes. Any questions or thoughts about this foreclosure? And we covered lots of things. Again, we're still looking at very broad perspective moving in, but thoughts about what the New Testament tells us about conscience. Yeah.
Right? And that conscience is not grasping the grace of freedom of God. So that was just very helpful to kind of realize the way that those verses are being used.
I think Liz pointed that out earlier, and we had it written on the board that that definitely goes both ways, and Scripture talks clearly about that both ways, that the Pharisees had jacked up consciences just like the pagan heathens in Romans 1 had jacked up consciences. So we can damage our consciences on both sides by being oversensitive and undersensitive. And again, we'll talk about how to deal with that in the coming weeks. But good context, we need to understand, before we talk about how to address being oversensitive or undersensitive, we need to understand that we can be oversensitive or undersensitive. Before we talk about searing our conscience, we need to understand that we can do that, how that works, and the negative results of that, and just realizing why God has given us a conscience. That it's not just, I think sometimes, Dusty actually told me this last week, and I'll say this really quickly, that the whole shoulder, angel, shoulder, demon thing came from a play in the 1500s. So Disney and a play in the 1500s, entertainment, has shaped what we think about conscience. And I think a lot of times when we think about conscience, we think about this one a lot more and just it being guilty when we do something wrong. But we also need to recognize that it's a guide and witness to us that says, hey, don't do it to start with before it condemns us for doing it afterwards. So go ahead, Joe. Pray for us. That's great. Let's take that application to street level right now and pray. Lord, thank you for giving us a conscience. Thank you for the gift that it is. Pray that you would help us, God. We ask that you would be with us individually and as a church as we deal with matters of conscience, both ourselves and with our brothers and sisters in Christ, that you would conform our consciences to your word, that you would show us where we're oversensitive, show us where we're undersensitive, and that we would just bring that in line with what you have to say in your word. Lord, help us also to realize when our consciences convict us rightly, that we've sinned against you. Draw us to repentance and faith in that. Lord, help us as we walk alongside one another, seeking to be a people that honor you and live holy and acceptable lives. And Lord, help us to see all of it in light of the gospel, that we're unable to do it outside of your sacrifice for us, that our hearts and consciences can never be cleansed and pure without your sacrifice on the cross. Help us remember that this week, Lord. Help this be a reminder to us to seek to follow you in everything that we say and we do. In your name I pray. Amen.